narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Additionally, we also provide information sourced from scientific research and data. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Ali Himari from the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum Assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for having me here, and it's my pleasure to have this discussion about how we upbring or how we handle the upbringing of the teenage group.
Thank you for joining us here again, dear Sheikh. So, Sheikh, last time we spoke about how the parents, or the father, for example, he cannot always be his children's friend. There are some circumstances where he cannot take the role of being his friend. An extension of that, dear Sheikh, a question naturally arises. What then is the role of the father at home if he cannot always be a friend?
Correct. What we had discussed about was that the father can be the friend of their young child, the son or the daughter, but the kind of need the child, the teenager, has for a friend, the father cannot fulfill all those needs. So he can be a good listener as a friend, he can be a good listener.
Right.
As a friend, he can be a good advisor, but there are limitations to it. So for a teenage boy who's like 13 years old or 14 years old, he would want to crack some kind of jokes. And some of them might be inappropriate as well, right?
Right.
But he can't do that with his father. And if father thinks that I can be his true best friend and, you know, he's going to share everything with me, and even if he puts in an effort and breaks that barrier and, you know, allows his son to crack those kind of inappropriate jokes or even the silly ones, what really happens is that he's not just breaking the barrier and trying to be a true friend, but he's also breaking the barrier of his role as a father figure in the family.
Right.
The father is supposed to play the role of a wali, which is guardian and the head of the family. But the moment he brings himself down to the level of a friend, that's where, on one hand, yes, there's certain comfort level for the teenager. But on the other hand, when it comes to decision making, when it comes to some important decisions where the father has to take those important decisions and take the final call.
Take charge, basically.
Take charge of the situation. And that is when you will find that the son or the daughter who is now acting like your best friend can stand up against you and say, no, I'm not going to give in to you because, you know, I know you and you're my friend, and all those problems come in. Whereas the Islam and the Shariat and the Quran, they gave father the role of a wali and head of the family with a particular intention. And that intention is that the father should understand the situation of the family, and he, being a practical man living outside, facing the world, should be able to take those courageous decisions in the family to be able to run the family smoothly.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break, dear Sheikh.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to your listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Sheikh, just before we went on a break, you said that the father is supposed to be a wali. Under all circumstances, it is higher than just a friend. So what is a wali then, dear Sheikh?
Without making it really complicated, look, every person who is given a certain responsibility, there is a necessity to give certain authority to the person, right? So as a father, if I'm responsible to take care of my family, to provide food to them, to provide security, to provide protection, to provide development, then along with that, there are certain set of authorities that are given to me when it comes to decision making.
Right.
And this is what wali in general terms means. But if you want to look at it specifically from the Islamic point of view, let me mention some very intricate and very interesting details here.
Please do.
If you look at Islam, you would see that in various verses of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself the wali of mu'mineen. Allah waliu lazina amanu. Right, and then later on, you also find in Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this authority or this position of wilayat to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, to Rasulullah Qudas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam,
the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, so as a representative, so the true wali is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he says, I'm giving this wilayat, the authority of wilayat to Prophet, and then to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the Aima alayhi salam, to do what? Right, this is where the fundamental point lies, and probably the most interesting points for the fathers as well when they're listening to this program, inshallah, that the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being the wali is yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur. Allah waliyul lazina yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur. So what is the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wali? The purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a wali is to take the people who have faith in him away from zulumat, from darkness, from misguidance, from being astray towards nur, that is guidance and hidayat and kamal.
So kind of like a guardian.
A guardian, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, I have my people working for me. And some of them are the holy prophets. So I give this authority to them. I give this wilayat to them so that they go and guide these nations away from zulumat towards nur.
From darkness towards light.
Towards light, from darkness towards light, from misguidance towards guidance to hidayat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, holy prophet, you are the last one. Now you're coming back towards me. Pass this wilayat to the Aima alayhi salam. So it goes to the Imam alayhi salam.
So responsibility goes to them.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Imam, being the central figure, he may not reach out to every single individual family. So what I'm doing is assigning a wali for every single individual family. And the purpose of that wali is, apart from doing all the other support of providing the food, the security, the shelter, the protection, the another important role of the father is yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur, to take them away from darkness and take them towards the light, take them away from misguidance and towards hidayat and the right path, the sirat al-mustaqim. And that is where we need to understand that if the father steps down from this kind of a position and positions himself as a best friend, then the children and the family member doesn't see him as the guardian of the family. And then when the father wants to take that role of guiding them, that is where he will find it extremely challenging to take that role and authority to act as a guide, like you mentioned.
Let's continue this discussion after a quick break. يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, avoid reprimanding constantly, for this act provokes the committing of sin and belittles a real reprimanding.
يا مطي الخيرات يا مطي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the role of the father in the Islamic household. Now, Sheikh, you said that the role of the father is to be a wali, a guardian. Is that the only role and responsibility of the father, or should he also be a friend or...
Like I mentioned, the role of the father is, apart from everything else, like providing food, shelter, protection, being friendly, providing the congenial environment.
That's under
at
the
home.
Term of wali.
Aha.
Right.
But the essential role of a wali is this. This is the most fundamental one, to take them away from darkness towards the light. And this is what makes the father the important part of the family system. And please understand that a lot of fathers think that if I am the wali, I have authority, I have the power, and they start exerting their power on the family and, you know, dictating terms.
Excessive force,
coercion, and literally acting like a dictator in the family.
Right.
And this is where they need to understand that the purpose purpose or the term wali does not mean a dictator in the family. It right. means a facilitator. It means a provider who's going to guide and take them away from all the flaws towards perfection, towards right. kamal, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The term that we use, qurbatan ilallah, he's supposed to play the role to take the whole family as an institution towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh, so that's the role of the father. Can the mother also be a wali, or in extension, the elder brothers?
Oh. When we talk about wali, in the specific Shari terms, that is the Islamic terms, the position is assigned to the father.
Reserved only to him.
To the father, because right. he's the final decision maker. So if there's a conflict at home, let's say two brothers are arguing about should we get a PS5 or Xbox or whatever, the final call lies in the hands of the father because he's the wali of the house. He's the final decision maker. You know, right. every time there's a conflict, anything, the final word lies with the wali. Which doesn't mean that he is going to take his decisions without consulting others. One of the important aspects of a wali is to take advice from the experienced family members. So if you have a working wife who's working in an organization, has seen the world, has experience of the world outside, you have grown-up children who are married themselves and have their own family, they have experience which can contribute towards right. that decision making. Final word lies with the father, but he can always take advice from the other family members who have the necessary expertise and experience in contributing towards the decision making.
We've seen actually something similar to this in the age of the Prophet when he was alive, peace be upon him. We know that he's ma'soom, infallible, he knows what others do not know.
No.
But even then, he would always consult those who are with him.
Yeah.
Sheikh, now that we said that the role of wali, of being a guardian, rise solely upon the shoulders of the father, does that mean that the father, he is the, how should we say this, the center of the family? Like everything is in his hands? Because when people listen to this, they think that it is the traditional, for example, Christian Western family, where the father, he sits at the end of the table and he's basically a ruler. Is that the correct understanding, or do we have a other understanding in Islam of this?
Again, let me put it this way. Even if you use the term ruler for the father, the definition of the ruler in Islam is different compared to the definition of ruler in other mythologies or right. other cultures.
True.
So if you look at Greece, if you look at Athens and other places, Rome and other places, you will see that they have the ruler as a dictator. They see him as the representative of God and they submit to him. In China, they would literally bow down to the rulers like a god. But in Islamic system, the ruler is a good example would be Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he would treat himself at the level of people, live a very simple life, and gel with the people in a way that he is able to combine himself with the people.
So a ruler in such a manner is what we strive to be.
Correct. So father has to be part of the family, not above the family in a way that I dictate, but you're all part of me and we all move together.
And with that, we will unfortunately have to end today's program because we are out of time. Dear Sheikh, I thank you for your time and for your insightful knowledge.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any questions, feedback, or just some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, or you can find us on various social media websites, such as on Instagram and Facebook under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Alternatively, you can also visit us at our website, parstoday.com, under our page. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms.
A batch of autonomous delivery vehicles has been provided to facilitate personnel and volunteers in the streets and communities of Shanghai. The self-driving vehicles distribute supplies to residents in the Chinese megacity, which is now hit hard by the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. The vehicles reduce person-to-person contact and largely lower the risk of infection. A community served by the distribution station has more than 30 apartment buildings and nearly 3,000 residents. The weight of each order is more than 5 kilograms, which puts great pressure on the volunteers to deliver. 49 autonomous delivery vehicles have been sent to communities, colleges, and hospitals in Shanghai to support anti-pandemic and supply work. Sunny skies and spring temperatures made for the perfect setting for the 65th birthday of Fatu, the world's oldest gorilla living at Berlin Zoo. At this age, the Western Lowland gorilla is what Berlin Zoo calls almost something of a legend. Gorillas living in the wild have a life expectancy of about 40 years, and at 65, she has been the world's oldest living gorilla for a while. 65 is absolutely extraordinary, and that obviously needs to be celebrated in style.
They mainly get vegetables, and the sugar they receive at most is fruit sugar, and that's what she saw for today in the shape of raspberries and blueberries. They were the decoration on rice cake made of boiled rice, a thin layer of rice and some curd so it sticks together. The bottom was made of a lot of green stuff, then the lion and lettuce.
According to Berlin Zoo, Western Lowland gorillas are now an endangered species after their natural habitat was continuously decimated, and therefore fewer and fewer animals live in the tropical rainforest of Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Gabon, and the Republic of Congo. The World of Opera is opening its doors to the deaf community for the very first time. The Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra has teamed up with the Deaf West Theater to stage a production of Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, at their home at the Walt Disney Hall. The chorus will be performed by the White Hands Choir, a group from Venezuela consisting of disabled children and young adults who sing as well as sign. The production pairs up a singer and a deaf actor to both inhabit the one role on stage. Having deaf actors perform alongside opera singers, however, has its challenges, not least of which is keeping up the rhythm of the music.
I think probably that there's a lot of tempo that I've been rehearsing. A lot of times when the singers hold the same word, but the next time they say that exact same word in the next few bars, they don't hold it as long. So trying to remember all of those is very difficult. So are they holding this for 4 beats or 2 beats? Or what word is this in this thing?
I feel like the challenge with opera is that it's very fluid and it's not repetitive. The tempos change throughout it, and night to night it even changes. The conductor, you know, kind of changes how he conducts things each night, and so that is something that is challenging.
The opera singers also give small cues to the actors, like opening a letter or sitting down or standing up, to keep them informed where they are in the piece. The deaf cast use theatrical ASL, or American Sign Language, in the production. DJ Kurse, the producer at the Deaf West Theater, says the performance is a little bit more poetic and a little bit more kind of picturesque.
A startup in the U.S. state of California is turning science fiction into reality by sending tiny robots on a fantastic voyage inside humans to treat brain disorders. The smart cells are small enough to be injected and can be carefully guided through the brain using magnetic coils placed outside of the patient's skull. The coils are linked to a computer that can remotely maneuver the robots through delicate pathways into the affected part of the brain. The micro-robots are also removed by rewinding them through the same route. The developers at Bionaut Labs say these robots are extremely important when it comes to zero-failure-sensitive surgeries.
For localized conditions such as cancer tumors, stroke, atherosclerotic plaque buildup, localized pain, and many other conditions, there is a real need to have a microrobotic, precise, remote-controlled mechanism that can treat a condition only at a specific point and nowhere else.
The startup has already tested the robots on large animals. Inventors hope to use the robot to pierce fluid-filled cysts within the brain when clinical trials on humans begin in 2 years. If approved, they could offer key advantages over more invasive and dangerous treatments for brain disorders.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plan can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noh Ah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world, get buckled because this is Youth Station. We are here to entertain you for some minutes. Well, if you're standing, then sit in a cozy place and be careful. We're going to have some very interesting stuff for you today. This is IRB English Radio. I am here as your host. This is Asma speaking to you.
And I'm also here. My name is
yes.
As usual. Thanks for having me.
Of course. The pleasure is all mine.
And I'm very welcome over here.
What would you do to the world? What are the things you wish you could do to the world? But still, you can't. I promise you can't. But then tell me, what are the things you wish to do in order to change the world? Do you think this world needs changing?
No,
needs
to be fixed? It's all right.
It's all right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
How come? From which angle are you looking at the world?
Like in a positive manner or a negative
Whatever
manner?
Whatever you wish to say.
If I want to make the world better or do I want to make it worse? Well, if I wanted to make it worse, I'd make another Trump.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah.
Now, well,
if
as
I
for
wanted
me,
to make it better,
I would compel people in a way that there would be no war.
There would be no war.
There would be no fighting between a family or two, between neighbors, between societies, between countries. You know, war is a very bad thing.
Yeah.
I would omit that from people's language, from all the dictionaries in the world.
Yeah, but what about population, right? If there's no war, then wouldn't the world be overpopulated? People have to die.
Oh, so you mean that they are doing that? They're doing good for us by creating new wars.
No, I didn't say that. You said that.
No, what I deduced from what you said was that war is a good thing because that would moderate the population.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. I'm just...
Yes, you said it.
No, you see, that's the problem with people. They Man, why? I never said that. It was a question.
Mm-hmm.
That if there's no war, then they would be overpopulation. Would it not?
Still, there is death. There is cancer. There is this newcomer that has been killing us all over the world. Coronavirus is everywhere. So still, we could die. Don't worry about the population.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If there is no war, still there is death.
Right. So you'd remove war from
yes.
the world.
Right. I remove war.
But you'll keep cancer.
I wish I could change that, of course.
Okay.
You know, when I was a student at a school, I wished to be a doctor in order to find a drug, something.
Oh,
a miracle.
There are so many drugs. Why would you want to be a doctor to find a drug?
No, for a specific disease. I wanted to find that for my grandfather because he was suffering from cancer. And I loved to change the world in a way that he could never die. But unfortunately, he died,
and I never became
a doctor. And there's still no drug to heal people who are suffering from cancer.
That's actually controversial, to be honest. Like, the people say that there is a cure for cancer, but certain people are not allowing it to be spread. But yeah, that's another issue.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it's, as I said, it's a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so, I wish there was a drug for people who are suffering from sickness. Still, what you mentioned is going to be true then, the story of overpopulation.
Yeah.
Because if cancer is not going to kill us, and if war is not going to kill us, and if there is no coronavirus, then how are we going to die?
No, there's plenty ways to die, you know.
Death is very clever.
What I would do is make people want to gain knowledge.
Mm-hmm. More knowledgeable people knowledge. You want.
Yeah. If people go after knowledge, I think that would ultimately lead to solving a lot of our problems that we face.
Which is going to fulfill one of my other wishes. That is, I wish people to stop being superficial. I wish they go into an ocean, but don't dive only for 2 centimeters of that ocean. I would love them to dig deeper sink in that ocean.
Yeah. You want to kill people. Yeah.
No, they would learn how to dive.
And dive.
I'm teaching them how to dive.
Yeah.
And to learn more about people before you judge them, before you wish to control them, whatever like that.
So the first thing that I do was knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing
controlling the population.
Controlling the population. Why would I do something so horrific? Oh, my God. No. No.
Thank God no angel is listening to us right now.
I'm sure they are. I am sure they are. The first thing is knowledge. The second thing that I would do is... It does come back to knowledge, but it's sort of a... offshoot of knowledge is that I would make people and myself aware of consequences of every thought, word, and action that I perform, think, or do, you know.
And is it going to change a lot in the world?
Yeah, it's going to change a lot. Yeah, some people might use it for their own benefit, negative agendas, but yeah, if everyone has this, people would
You'd better wish there's no devil in the world. Satanic thought in the world.
No. If people are aware, first off, people have knowledge, right? And then people are aware of the outcome or the consequences of their actions, ultimately it is going to weaken the negative agendas or the devil, or the Satan, or Shaitan, or whatever you name it, it's going to weaken it because wisdom does break a lot of chains. You know?
Why people love making wishes?
Why do people
Where that come from? Why do we love making so many wishes?
I don't.
I have an imagination that is so powerful and it has many things in it and it wishes to do millions of things, though I know they're not going to come into reality.
Yeah, which is why they're wishes, yeah.
We are hopeful, so we have wishes. If I'm not hopeful, then I won't have wishes. Still, I'm not disappointed with the world. That's why I'm wishing.
You know.
I know that they're not going to be true.
For example, someone who's completely hopeless, right? Absolutely hopeless. Does he not have a wish?
They don't wish.
No, they do wish. A wish is there.
So hope is the last thing that dies. Still, they're hopeful.
So? No, someone has no hope whatsoever. Right?
If there's no hope, there's no wish.
No. Someone might not have hope, but they still do have wishes. Look, someone who's absolutely hopeless, someone who wants to die, for example, wanting to die is a wish.
So you consider that as a wish, wishing to die.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's a wish.
So I guess we're talking about good wishes.
Good wishes.
So a hopeless person would never have a good wish.
A hopeless person would not have a good
wish. They would just want to die, right?
A hopeless person would not have a good wish. No, why not?
So wishes come out of hope.
Why? Look, this guy lost his arms. A person who's lost his eyes, a person who's lost his arms and legs,
mm-hmm.
right? And he is stuck in a desert where no one's going to come to him.
It was such a bad situation.
Yeah, wow, why would I do that to people? Yeah. Why would I even imagine, why would I do this to a person even if he's in my imagination?
For us.
Wow, talk about being creative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this guy's hopeless,
mm-hmm.
absolutely hopeless. He's hopeless, but he wishes that...
No, you're making a mistake. He does not wish. He's still hopeful that there might be a person who would come to his rescue. Yes, trust me, it is. It's hope. It's not wish. Because hope is the last thing that dies in human beings. It's the last torch that is going to be turned out.
So he's wishing
mm-hmm.
that he could live a happy life with arms and legs and children and grandchildren.
No, arms and legs. He knows that he does not have those arms and legs.
No, but he wishes that he could hope.
I don't understand
okay,
their logic.
I'll make you teach yourself, okay?
Okay.
Define hope.
I define hope. Well, hope is the thing that everyone has. Hope is the driving force that keeps us living.
Hope is the driving force. I'd say food and water is the driving force that keeps me living.
Yes, those are as well.
Okay, so hope is the driving force that keeps you living?
Yes.
Hope.
If I have no hope, then why should I leave? I know that there is nothing waiting for me.
Right, okay.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
What I understand from hope mm-hmm. is a probability.
Ooh, hope is something that everybody is talking about hope, and no one knows hope. What it is.
Actually, we're going to go and look on Google. Mm-hmm. Let's see what they say. But what I understand from hope is a probability that one gives to the happening or the occurring of an advent event or appearance of a material, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
The probability that one gives out for a certain thing to happen, right?
Okay.
That is hope, right?
So let's believe that is hope.
Okay, yeah, but that's... So you had a definition, I had a theory, you had a theory. Let me see what they say, right? In the dictionary,
mm-hmm.
hope means a feeling of or of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Right? A feeling, not a desire, a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Right, so we defined what? Hope,
mm-hmm.
right? We defined hope.
So let's come out of this terminology session and come to the greatest hope that a person could have.
Oh my God, why did you skip wish?
That's a wish. So I would rephrase it. What is the greatest wishes for human beings?
The greatest wish is perfection.
Exactly.
Perfection is the greatest wish. Perfection, yeah.
Now we're speaking about the same thing.
All right. Everyone, uh-huh. everyone's greatest wish is perfection.
Exactly.
And their idea of perfection
mm-hmm.
may differ.
Exactly.
Your idea of perfection may be a nice handbag.
Exactly.
And my idea of perfection would be...
a big house or a beautiful car.
Yeah, right. But... the greatest wish, ultimately, it is perfection, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people who are very realistic, their greatest perfection mm-hmm. is being united with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. Pinning all our hopes on Allah and seeking His forgiveness.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's the biggest wish for all the human beings, for seek prosperity and perfection. I guess they want to get united with Allah. It was a terminology session.
Yeah, but I was interrupted.
What is wish, what is hope? And then he was interrupted. My perspective has not been presented
yes, to the world.
Yes, we'd give you some more time.
We are being oppressed.
Yes, thank you for listening, dear listeners. We bid you farewell. Thank you for listening. Until another session.
The greater person always.
It's okay. We'll make it up for you. Don't worry.
All right. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My alpha and omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance. Aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا
And it is he who has made the night for you as clothing, and sleep as means for rest, and has made the day a resurrection.
The 47th verse was under discussion. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he it is who appointed the night for you to be a covering. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا And sleep as a rest. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he appointed the day a rising. In the previous episode, we discussed the first two parts of this verse. وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا And he appointed night for you to be a covering. We talked about the different aspects of this blessing. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا And this sleep, which is a rest for us. We talked about the term سُبَات and why it is named after Saturday in Arabic or يَوْم السَّبْت. And also this fascinating blessing of نَوْم and sleep. We concluded that we have to schedule based on this gradual system of the universe, which is day and night. Because layl is libas, because night is covering, and naum is subat, and sleep is a rest. And then the continuation of the verse, وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he appointed the day a rising. This part of the verse is talking about the blessing of day. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا The Quranic word nushur is derived from the word nashr that means to spread. This is the opposite of folding. This may refer to the spreading of soul throughout the body when man awakes, which is like reviving after death. And it might also refer to men's participation in social activities and movements for various works of life on the earth. But it seems that they're both acceptable. Let us have a look at one narration from the Holy Prophet ﷺ that he used to recite this sentence every morning. Praise belongs to Allah who brings us to life after death and finally we will return to Him.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد
الجهاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
The brightness of day causes movement in man bodily and spiritually, as darkness brings sleep and calmness. In nature, the first ray of sun brings great movements. It causes absolute ferment in our creatures. A resurrection happens among the creatures. Each of them start to follow its own program. Even some plants grow when the light is cast on them. When the sun sets and night comes, the birds return to their nests and living creatures sleep and take some rest. Even plants go to some kind of sleep of their own. Now that we have taken a look at all these signs and indications of Allah's might and power, we must get to know Him better. We must get to feel His might and His presence in our lives more. In fact, this system the Holy Quran is using, gradually introducing these different signs of our Lord to us, the kind of signs that we might pass them each day in our lives without even pondering on them. But now we are ordered, highly recommended by the different verses of the Holy Quran, to look at them more closely, to understand that our Lord is Rabb. He is the one who is setting the things move based on their own programs. You may remember this section of the chapter started with saying أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَيْفَ مَدَّ الظِّلْ. The word رَبْ was used because He is the one that is setting us to move on doing our daily routines and programs based on the alteration of night and day. And now we know that these creations, they are all the signs of our Lord, and He is the absolute cause. One last thing, dear listeners, to be mentioned is the fact that we can use these attributes of the Almighty Allah, these actions that He has in the universe, these creations, and use them to call out to Him when we are trying to supplicate. By naming Him by these names, by calling out to Him using these attributes, we are actually at first reminding ourselves that we are the creations, that we have an absolute cause. And secondly, we are causing ourselves to be closer to His mercy. And then, finally and ultimately, we are trying to attract His mercy more. And this is what we have been highly ordered and recommended to do when we try to supplicate. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Goodbye.